This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, I mean, we should get recording. Have you seen Heather?
No, I wasn't sure if she was going to be remote today, if she was coming in.
She said she was here earlier. I don't see her.
I haven't seen her yet. I thought it was...
Hearing some weird, distant moaning.
Yeah.
Where's that come?
I hear it, too.
Is that coming from that cabinet in the corner?
Oh, nice. God.
Guys, I made a mistake.
Heather?
Don't look. I'm embarrassed.
Okay, I was just going to open the door so we could hear you better. You could get some fresh air.
I'm embarrassed. Okay, I won't.
I'll leave you in there. What is happening?
I love the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, we all love the Nintendo Switch.
So
we're drafting Switch games today.
Yeah.
And I got to thinking, you know, you can walk around with it in portable mode.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, that's like us. We're all in portable mode. We can walk around.
Oh, interesting.
I guess I hadn't really thought about how portable
I
am. Yeah.
And then
I was like, I've never considered what it would be like. Because, you know, when you plug the Switch into the dock, it makes it fancier and the screen is bigger.
Sure. Puts it on the TV.
So I thought, what would happen if I dock? So I docked myself in the Switch dock.
You docked yourself in a Switch dock.
You docked yourself in a Switch dock.
Don't open the cabinet. I'm embarrassed.
You crammed your physical form into the narrow slot where a Switch console usually rests?
3/4 of my body are docked.
Oh, my God. Do you want us to call, like, you know,
call Nintendo.
Well, I don't know if Nintendo is necessarily, I was going to say some first responders, you know.
Don't
get
call
like an ambulance out
I'm
here.
Embarrassed. Call Nintendo.
Well, I think Nintendo will also not, first of all, I don't know why you wouldn't be embarrassed calling Nintendo.
I sort of think in either scenario, neither party is going to know what to do exactly.
Yeah.
This is for sure a first for everybody involved.
Yeah. Look, I know you don't want us to look in there.
Don't look in the
cabinet. Could I maybe like hand you like a flathead screwdriver or a pair of pliers to see if that will help maybe help free yourself?
Oh, no, Nintendo screws are proprietary. Oh no. Oh no.
What happened? What happened?
I'm getting updated.
Oh God.
Would it help you if we like turned on the TV or something?
Yeah,
or?
Why don't we turn on the TV, cuz you know The dock does have the HDMI cable linked to there.
Okay, yeah, just turn on the TV, but don't open the cabinet.
We'll turn the TV on.
We're turning on. Hey, well, there you are on the TV.
It worked?
Yeah,
it
we
worked?
Can see you, yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, man, hi, guys.
Hi,
that
Heather.
That makes me happy. I thought this was all for naught.
Yeah, you know, I mean, maybe this isn't the life you hope for, but this can just be your life moving forward.
I only did this for an intro, and I think it's going to kill me.
We swap in a bigger micro SD card and weigh our favorite mute protagonists as we draft from the Nintendo Switch library this week on Get Played.
Welcome to Get Played, your one-stop show for good games, bad games, and every game in between. It's time to get played. I'm your host, Heather Ann Campbell, along with my fellow host, Nicholas Weiger.
That's me, Nicholas Weiger, and I'm here with our third host, Matthew Apodaca.
Hello, everyone. Ooh.
Hello. Hello, everyone. And welcome back to the premier video game podcast, where we used to talk about bad games, then we talked about good games, and now we talk about any games.
Yes.
Any games. As far as I'm concerned. Games.
And we usually go by nicknames, but sometimes we go by full names.
Today we're that's formal. Today. Yeah,
being
that's
a little
right.
Formal.
Yeah.
For no particular reason.
I want to start this week off by saying...
We're not recording in court or anything.
Yeah, not yet.
I have spent a week astonished that Matt Apodaca didn't like Kingsglaive, and I cannot... I'm stunned.
You're stunned.
I'm still stunned.
I feel so bad about this because I haven't thought about it a second more since we recorded that episode. Poor Heather, keeping her up at night, staring at the ceiling. Why didn't he like it? No, I do. I weirdly do think I'll revisit it at some point. Like, whenever I'm about to start Final Fantasy 15, I think I'll pop it on again and give it another shot.
All right.
Rochelle, our producer, a.k.a. Ranch, did you watch Kingsglaive, the Final Fantasy movie?
No, I did not.
Okay, great. You made the right move.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting that's been occupying your thoughts. We don't need to relitigate it. We've talked about it at length.
We definitely don't. I just wanted to open up by saying I'm shocked at the emotional impact it had on me that I was so certain about something. Also, this is an interest. We don't usually have continuity in our podcast. And this feels like a to be continued on just a thought, which is that I just can't believe it.
But I also did not know you had such affection for this movie. I thought you were kind of like, oh yeah, Kingsglaive, it's pretty good.
I thought it was the opposite. I thought you were like, oh, it's bad. We should watch it because it's bad.
No, it just falls deeply in between those two posts.
Got it. So you don't think it's pretty good and you don't think it sucks. You
but
think it's
it
like,
makes
okay?
me feel... It makes me, certain elements of the movie make me feel, we don't have to do this. We did this last week.
All right, then let's move on. Let me wrap up your thought.
Me?
Yeah.
I'm Kingsglaive pilled.
Hey, I should give everyone a heads up that we weren't going to do a We Play, You Play, but we decided to swerve and do one. Not of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, but of the other big game of the moment. We are going to do an episode about Helldivers 2 next week. So We Play, You Play Helldivers 2 coming next Monday, March 25th.
That's right.
Look forward to that.
I know people are playing it in the Discord.
Yeah.
Yeah. None of the three of us have started playing. So it's not like,
I've dipped my toes in there.
Matt's messed around with it.
Oh, yeah.
I've gotten in there. I've spread a little democracy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the point of the game is that what they're doing in the game is good, right?
Yeah.
I'm just taking it at face value.
Yeah, it's good, and I'm confused and mad when people say that it's bad.
Yes, yeah.
But I think it's because I'm an idiot. but it rocks. I can't wait to... honestly, I mean, off pod, let's pencil in a time to squad up.
We are 100% going to squad up.
Oh, yeah.
Rochelle, you mess with the Helldivers too?
I have it downloaded, but I haven't played it yet.
Okay,
well, you're going to have to get in on this. You're welcome to join.
Oh my god, I would love to squad up.
I love it.
Look at us.
I feel like playing with Ranch is going to be pure chaos.
I'm more excited to do it now, honestly. Like, oh, Ranch is going to play? This is going to be good.
Rewind it back to the days of chillaxing on the beach and all-day fun with Spring Break on DraftKings Casino. Play exclusive games like Fan Fave Rocket. The excitement is endless, the vibes are right, and the cash prizes could be huge. New players, start playing with just $5 and get $100 back instantly in casino credits. Download the app and use code GETPLAYED to book your one-way ticket to fun with DraftKings Casino. The crown is yours! Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In Connecticut, Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. 21 plus. Physically present in Connecticut, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia only. Void in Ontario. Eligibility and other restrictions apply. One per opted-in new customer. $5 wager required. Max $100 in casino credits awarded, which require one-time playthrough within 168 hours. See terms at casino.draftkings.com/promos. Restrictions apply.
Hey, buddy, I want to tell you about a new podcast you need to listen to. Crunchyroll presents The Anime Effect, explores anime and the way it shows up throughout our world. Hosts Nicholas Friedman, LaAlec Murray, and Leah President discuss the latest in news, updates, and deep dives on the shows and pop culture you love. From breaking down the anime awards to analyzing Godzilla Minus One to discussions with musicians like Yeji. Stay up to date on the latest in anime with Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. Hey, for me, I'm interested in hearing them talk about One Piece, because I've been getting into One Piece myself. And they're also talking about The Boy and the Heron and Studio Ghibli movies, things that I love. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth they get into. They do some gaming content. Kaiju Number 8, that's a manga a lot of people like, that is turning into an anime. We'll see how that adaptation is. So listen now, wherever you get your podcast, Crunchyroll presents The Anime Effect. Let's talk about some video games we're currently playing. It's time to ask, what are you playing?
What are you playing? Hi, it's me, the Resident Evil Merchant, and I'm coming in to ask you what it is you're playing. You guys heard about this musical guild?
Yeah, I mean, yes, the union that represents musicians who perform for film and television.
So if you sing a song, it's yours, and you make money off it. So that was the what have you been playing song.
Your contract, no, this is the thing that I know what you're trying to do here.
Yes,
you're trying to add things to your contract so you can get paid more. You get paid a lot for what you do. And I think it's a really actually, you know, this is kind of messed up. It's not very nice that you're trying to add stuff to your contract like that.
I call your pay rate exorbitant. And hey, I support performers being paid fairly.
That's right.
But you are paid a lot for what you do. But yeah, you can't just be like adding services on top of what you're contracted for
so
and then expect to be paid for them.
You don't want a song? Is that what you're saying? You don't want a song?
No.
I don't think we necessarily need a song for this point in the show.
In my experience, songs typically have music as well. You kind of just said things in a way.
Yeah, if what you what you just did to you comprises a song, in your view, I would just disagree with that assessment.
Yeah, 100%.
I would call it something else.
Is it legal for me to sing Happy Birthday yet?
I think it actually
been,
is legal
it's
now.
Been
it's become
legal for
public
a long
domain,
time.
Yeah. Well, not for a long time, but for in fairly recent past.
But there's no reason for you to sing it because it is, as far as I know, no one's birthday in this room.
Yeah.
What if it was my birthday?
Oh. Is this a circuitous way of letting us know that this it's your birthday, Resident Evil
yes.
Merchant?
Yes, February 22nd, 1941.
Okay. don't date this because this is gonna come out and it's gonna come out later. Okay, so just don't make it seem like that's the current date because it's clearly not.
Right.
What? It's not? Did I forget my own birthday?
I mean, today is if we're gonna timestamp it. It is March 14th.
Yeah.
March.
And what date did you say?
January 22nd.
I said February 22nd.
February.
Yeah, I thought you said February.
I heard January.
Yeah.
But I think
well, because your
I
brain
want to hear
was,
a normal thing.
Yeah, your brain was trying to process it into a normal month name.
Yeah.
Not some invented month.
No, it's not. You just got different months than me. That's fine.
We've already done this calendar thing. We can't do this again. People who are like, didn't want to hear about it. We can't do more calendar stuff.
But also, like, you know, there is a question of what reality the Resident Evil Merchant actually lives in. Do they live in some sort of parallel universe where there is a month of February? And so what they're saying right now is nothing particularly abnormal from their perspective.
Well, and we know that there's a different president of the United States.
There's definitely
in that
a different
game.
President, yeah.
Not my president.
Right. Matt. You said it so I don't have to. But there also are things like the United States and Spain. There are like real, yeah, you know, yes, territories. Yes. So there's some commonalities there.
Do you want to know where I'm from?
Yeah.
So you know multiverses are like side to side on a universe, right? The universe to the left of you.
I do know this.
Okay.
The universe to the right of you.
Sure.
My universe is 5 seconds behind you, always chasing.
You're just in kind of like an alternate timeline of our reality.
Just 5 seconds.
Just a little bit behind us. Got it.
I do remember saying earlier that our show doesn't have continuity.
Yeah.
Well, now it does.
It's a little bit of a mind fuck trying to think of what that means to be you're living 5 seconds behind it. That, does that mean that everything that's happening to us is about to happen to you?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
But it sucks. I can't do anything about it. I'm like Dr. Manhattan.
Sounds like it sucks.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
Sucks. It's like if I'm like in your house,
yeah,
and you guys are like taking a shit. Oh God, now I'm taking a shit 5 seconds later.
I mean, that's how it works.
I'm hoping you're not in my house while that's happening, because yeah, you're not invited in.
And I hope you're also on a toilet, I guess. And also, I guess I need more than 5 seconds.
I'm now like just putting together all the piles of human shit I found like in my hallway.
But in a sense, it's probably also a relief.
Yeah, at least I have some clarity on where that's coming from. It's not just like a feral man living in my crawl space. I mean, I guess there kind of maybe is.
Yeah.
Guys, I saw something. Speaking of contracts, I saw something in my writer that I want to run past you guys because it's going to happen at some point in the future.
Okay.
I do get to appear for one complete episode.
That is true. That is in your contract that you do have a guest spot.
Why did we put that in?
It was like one of those things where it was like, look, this will close the deal if you just agree to this one thing. You're like, all right, fine, yeah. And we thought we could just kick it down the road in perpetuity. But at some point, the chickens are going to come home to roost. Resident Evil Merchant can book themselves as a guest.
Yeah, I'm going to do it for one of the weeks that Heather can't be here. Okay. And it'll be great. It'll be great. We're going to have a good time, boys. Maybe I'll do it in studio.
Sure.
Yeah,
it's an option.
As long as you keep the locker room talk to yourself.
What?
I know that sometimes
you guys
like
have a locker room. I've been changing on Sunset Boulevard.
No, I just know sometimes you like to run that mouth of yours in ways that Nick and I don't find appropriate.
Metaphorically, we don't have a literal locker room here at HeadGum Studios.
Well, it's not going to be this episode, so I'm just here to ask you, what are you playing?
Wow, what are we playing? Are Heather and I still playing the same game? Or have you stopped?
So my schedule just changed a bit, and I have continued to play Final Fantasy Rebirth, but it is not until, say, tomorrow or the next day that I will be able to put in any significant time. And that is in part because the new Fortnite chapter dropped, and that's what I would like to talk about this week.
Please. Great.
Because holy shit, it is so fucking good. It is the best season I have yet played.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. So it's Greek god themed. They've added two new POIs or like areas where there are Greek gods to kill. And when you kill those Greek gods, you gain their powers. So if you go and beat Hades, who is not like Disney Hades. He's like a dude who sits on the throne and like calls forth the minions of the underworld.
Like
you beat
Hades,
him,
Hades.
You get a power that allows you to drain the health and put it in yourself of anybody that you kill. So it's siphoning.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, cool.
If you kill Cerberus, you gain the ability to teleport 3 times, which then recharges like his 3 heads. If you kill Zeus on the other side of the map at Mount Olympus, which is very, very beautifully designed, huge high mountain overlooking the entire island with a giant statue on the top, and you can go all the way to the top of the statue and you can snipe from there. But if you kill Zeus, you get like a super sprint and sort of like an ultra jump, like, you know, the way a god would jump. And then if you kill Ares, also in the Mount Olympus area, you can get stronger weapons. All the weapons you pick up are stronger than normal. In addition, they have added lightning bolts that you can hurl from the sky as if you are Zeus.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
And Icarus wings. And the Icarus wings allow you to fly. So now the game has become this sort of like, it's not just a horizontal game. It's also a game that involves the area above you significantly.
Wow.
And my favorite part about the Icarus wings is they only last a certain length of time. And the way they visually represented that is that the feathers and the wings burn as if you're flying too close to the sun.
Wow.
So it's just, it is such a fast-paced, fun, like reinvention of Fortnite. And I have been playing with people on the Discord and also my my main squad of IRL friends. And we have not stopped laughing, which is which feels like old Fortnite to me. It feels like the first time the three of us played and it was like, yeah, you can jump on this warthog and ride it, or you can get right in a car and fill it up with gas or plant mm-hmm. a plant. Like, it's so much stuff that just read as chaotic. And now all of those disparate flavors are mixed together under a Greek god theme. And I fucking love it. I love the battle pass because you can get like Aphrodite or Medusa or like,
oh, yeah.
I care about those people so much more than, say, and I know this is going to, you know, not be a home run in this room, but like, I would rather have, you know, Cerberus as a skin than Peter Griffin.
How dare you?
I'm done. How dare you criticize our modern myths?
Yeah, get off the show. How dare you?
Did they ever do like a, you know what, a Greek myths style Family Guy anthology episode where like
sure.
Brian was Cerberus?
It sounds
like
good.
A natural thing they could do.
That's I'm on board. Yeah. I love it.
If you like Greek myths, maybe you should watch the show on Fox that I wrote for, Krepopolis.
Wow.
Is it out? Which is about, yeah, it's out.
I'll watch it.
Check that out.
I love Greek myth.
Check it out. Yeah.
Can I ask real quick, because you were talking about you kill a god. How does that work exactly? Is that like a raid thing? Do you need to get a bunch of other players to do it? Or can you take them down one-on-one?
No, you can take them down one-on-one.
Okay.
It is, you go into their temple, and in the funniest bit of like Fortnite animation, there's a statue of them. And you go up to it and you grab it and you topple it onto the ground, which angers the god.
Uh-huh.
And so they send first usually a wave of their minions or followers or wolves or whatever at you. You kill all those guys and then the god shows up and it's kind of just like a regular boss battle in Fortnite. So it isn't, oh, you've got to get like 18 to 20 people to take this thing down. You can
right.
take it down solo or in a squad, but you take it down with regular guns.
Yes.
Which is funny. Or if you have the ability to drive a car into it, you can hit it with a car. Like, all of the standard Fortnite antics apply.
Wow, that's cool. That sounds fun.
I love it. I love it.
Matt, what are you playing?
Well, I'm still playing. I'm trucking along in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and I haven't gotten to anything that would be considered like a spoiler, I
sure.
think. I'm still in chapter 4. I did text you guys over the weekend that I was 26 hours into the game and only like 23% done with the game, but my remake playtime was 52 hours at 100% like of finishing the game.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to be playing this game for a while, so I think it's good that we gave ourselves a month buffer, because it's pretty meaty if you're doing all the side stuff. But I've been really impressed with some of the stuff that they've brought back for this one from the original game, because like, there were a couple things while I was playing the original that I was like, how are they gonna do this? Like, this is like such like a, like the, there's like a mini game in the original where you have to like, you're with like this Shinra army that you have to like make your guns, you have to do like a little like thing with the, you flip the gun around and stuff,
right?
And like, you know, do like you're like in color guard or whatever. But they have that in this game, but it's like a rhythm mini game, and it is so fun. It is just like so like delightful and fun. And you have to like go around finding all these like different infantrymen to add to the squad. That was really great. And then there's the, of course, right before this, there's a moment where you have to ride like a dolphin. There's a dolphin in the original one that like you have to go a certain way so it can toss you up on like a pillar so you can do this next thing. And they made that just like a timed like little race thing that you have to do with the dolphin. And I was like, I love the dolphin. Like, yeah. That was really great. But I've been really just enjoying switching out my party, playing with a bunch of different of the characters, and just really, it's all I've been thinking about recently. Like, I really love the game. It's really taken over my brain in a very significant way. I love it. It's I had a thought while I was playing it. I was like, is this now my favorite game? I'm not even done with it. And like, it's just this like Final Fantasy VII has been such a big part of my life for the last 2 months.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's everything to me right now. It's wonderful.
Do you have a favorite party member to play with or favorite crew?
You know, I love Tifa, and sure. I know that this is like a basic, it's maybe I'm basic because I see a lot of people arguing, you know, Aerith over versus Tifa, and I hate to draw a line in the sand. I would die for Tifa, I think.
I remember from a combat standpoint, I remember Tifa being fun to play in the first in remake.
Yeah, because she has like fast punches, yes, and like does like somersault like kicks and stuff, and that's pretty cool. And Aerith is good and fun to play as, but the magic is a little slower to me, and I like to get in there and I like to finish a fight quick. So my team right now has been Cloud, Red 13, and Tifa. And it sounded like I said Antifa. And that's kind of like what they are.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
They're eco-terrorists.
Yeah. But I love it. And like, I know what I'm about to get into, like the next like chapter. I know. So I'm really excited to keep proceeding. But those are the updates I have for it, because I don't want to spoil much more of it.
Wow. Okay.
But Tifa, if you're listening, I'll do anything for you.
And Tifa, if you're listening, we'd love to have you on the
show.
Yeah,
Tifa. Yeah, if you're a video game character and you're listening, you can come on the show anytime.
Resident Evil Merchant Art is definitely going to hear that.
Well, he's been on it before.
I know.
He's if you guys are familiar with Hall Pass, of course. Everybody's familiar with the Hall Pass.
Yeah, so what are those movies like Sliding Doors or like The Bucket List, where no one actually likes the movie, but it made an indelible imprint on the culture by giving us a phrase that's shorthand for something?
Yes.
So would you say that Tifa is your video game hall pass, Matt?
What can I say so my fiance doesn't get mad?
I mean, you could start by saying Tifa is not real, so
Tifa's
there's no
not
threat.
Real, so it's allowed.
Yeah.
Mitch Hedberg used to have this joke where he was like, people would ask me if I have a girlfriend, and I would say no, but I have somebody who would be very mad if they heard me say that. No, look, it's just a harmless little crush on Tifa. I'll never meet Tifa. It's
of course.
Just, you know, she's just good at fighting. It has nothing to do with her appearance and how she treats me in the game.
Sure.
Like $1 million bucks. Like, I'm the best guy in the world. If she said, Tifa's I great. Love you, I wouldn't try to kiss my TV or something.
Okay. So.
So, yes, she's my hall pass.
Wow. You said it. I guess I'll ask myself, what are you playing?
Oh.
Well. Thanks, Y Girl. Feel this one.
No, Nick, I was just kind of coming down from like an experience I was just having. Nick, I'm dying to know, actually. What are you playing?
Matt, I'm playing Baldur's Gate 3.
Wait.
But I'm not going to talk about that because, as I said,
what
I'm
the fuck?
Playing my Baldur's Gate 3 Dark Urge Honor Mode playthrough, and I'm not going to give any further Baldur's Gate talk until I finish it. Instead, I'm going to talk about another game, A Little to the Left, which just showed up on Game Pass in February. This is a puzzle game that was developed by Max Inferno and was originally released in November of 2022. I remember hearing lots of pleasant things about this. It is a cozy, cozy game about sorting household objects. And kind of like WarioWare, but without the time pressure, if that makes sense. They're kind of like, oh, here's some really small, contained, discrete tasks that you just sort of figure out. And then you do, and you lazily do at your own pace. You're not judged by how long you take, and then you move on to the next one. And it has this, you know, the art of everything looks very hand drawn, and you know, just kind of like this sort of general fuzziness to it. That I guess chill wave would kind of be sort of an aesthetic some people would ascribe to this. I'm not sure if that's exactly right, but it's that sort of thing. That sort of like a coffee talk, like a sort of chill vibe sort of game.
Okay.
So the way these puzzles work, it will be things like, for instance, an early one is there's a bunch of photos that are on a wall and they're all like a little askew. And so what you have to do is just take all the framed photos and put them aligned so that they are all, they're all correctly at right angles and they all look straight. And then if you succeed at that, you move on to the next level. But there'll also be things like there's a bunch of framed photos on the wall and they're already all aligned. And so you have to think for a second, okay, what exactly does the game want me to do here? And so, for instance, there's one where what you have to do is line up the horizons in all the photos. So you see some of the photos were taken at an angle, and what the straightening that you have to do is actually skewing the photos so that they look like they're gravitationally correctly oriented. There's things like arranging pencils in order of how much lead is left. But then there will also be like an alternate solution to a puzzle like that where you'll be like, okay, and you can also get an alternate solution by arranging them in terms of how much eraser is left from most to least or vice versa. And there is a very just spoon-feeding in-game hint system, which you can use and which you're not punished for, which is basically just like a drawing of the completed puzzle that you can use an eraser to scrub off as much or as little of it as you want and use that to guide you in terms of how to find a solution.
It's pretty good. That's pretty good. I like that.
But the thing is, you don't have to figure out just the solution. You have to figure out what they want you to solve. And that's where the in-game hint system comes in, because I will say as much I am enjoying this quite a bit. It is very fun. It is very cozy. It calms you down. But some of the puzzle solutions to me feel a little arbitrary and unclear. Like what you will be like, OK, I think this looks like some sort of solution. But what it actually wants me to do is something a little bit different. For instance, like. The books are arranged by height, ascending stairs. But what the game actually wants me to do is ascend them so have them set up so it's like they go down like a valley and meet in the middle at the lowest point, you know, which is a sort of thing like you can eventually figure out by experimentation. But to me, those are ones where I'm like, well, I'm not sure why this one solution works and this other one isn't what they're looking for. But there are other ones that are very satisfactorily like, yeah. Oh, I see exactly what they're doing. And those are really, really fun when you puzzle those out exactly. I'm not sure if it's an easy game to play if you're someone, who has issues perceiving color, because a lot of the puzzles or a good number of the puzzles are reliant on like the color spectrum, and I don't know what if the color blindness mode that's in this game what that does exactly to adjust things. So that's a thing to be conscious of. But you know, it is on Game Pass, so I think it's a great Game Pass game to just sort of check out and mess around with. And I know a lot of people played it when it came out, but it was new to me, and I'm glad I've spent some time with it. Also, Matt, I should note, this is a cat game. It's a big time cat game.
Okay, yes,
cats are a presence, and cats, as you know, like to cause disarray, and that's a thing that happens in this game. So you'll get your you'll have your little plate of breakfast foods all arranged, and all of a sudden a cat ball reaches in there and musses everything up. But it's a lot of fun.
I have this game wish listed, but now that I know it's on Game Pass.
Check it out. Mess around.
Check it out. Yeah, because
it's not super long. It doesn't have a lot to it. But what it's trying to do, it does very well.
I was sold as soon as you said it was like WarioWare with no time limit. And I'm like, that's my zone.
Yeah.
I love it.
Love it.
I also, there was that, well, did you mess around with that, you messed around with the new WarioWare.
No. Not the newest one.
Okay, because there was two new ones. There's the one that came out for Switch, and then there was one that you had to get up and move your body.
Yeah.
I played that at a party, and I was like, I loved it.
Yeah, it's good.
It was so, if there was a visual component to the show, we would have to do it. Like, it's so funny. It's a hilarious game. But I don't own it, so maybe someday.
Remember when Border Patrol separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents, deported the parents back to their home countries while keeping the kids in the United States? Well, believe it or not, there are hundreds of families who have still not yet been reunified.
Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, I recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm reduction-based practice.
They've reunified over 100 refugee families ripped apart by Trump's zero-tolerance policy. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and counseling that they need in order to heal and get on their feet.
Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you would see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like me and believe that all families belong together, then join me in supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today.
You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode or go to gum.fm/charity and donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
All right, let's get to the meat of what we're doing today. Nintendo Switch Draft. Now, look, we've done console drafts in the past on the podcast. PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, Nintendo 64, Nintendo DS, the GameCube. Only Nintendo and PlayStation systems so far, actually. We should probably Sony system. We should mix that up. But we wanted to do something a little bit more contemporary. And it feels like, you know, the Switch is kind of drifting towards its end date.
Was that your way of teasing that maybe we might do a Dreamcast? A Dreamcast draft?
I'd love to do a Dreamcast draft.
Dreamcast draft, Xbox 360 draft, you know.
Draftcast.
Yeah, we could do a Draftcast.
Yeah, we can do a Draftcast.
We're
doing one now.
Oh, well.
You mean Dreamcast, though. Dreamcast, natural Draftcast.
No, now I understand. Yeah, that is really good.
That is good.
Yeah. Shenmue.
There it is.
Yeah, I guess Matt gets the number one pick. The Switch launched globally on March 3rd, 2017. North of 139 million units have shipped. It's closing in on the PlayStation 2, which is still the number one console of all time with 155 million units. And at some point, it will surpass it. Moby Games says there are 10,888 games that have been released for the Switch globally.
Sheesh.
It's a lot of games.
I think pound for pound, dollar for dollar, it's really hard to argue that the Switch hasn't been the best system of all time. And that is saying that I say that having not really picked up my Switch in like, I bet a solid 9 months at least. I still think it's like, it's astonishing that it exists. I think that all of the next consoles will probably be similarly, I don't know, like it there. I think it's going to be all Steam Decks or Switches next, right?
I mean, I hope so. Just as long as you can actually download games to it, not everything requires an internet connection at all times.
Yeah, that'd be really nice. I was thinking about how I think on my Switch alone, I think I have a lot of games on various consoles. I think the Switch has a bulk of my games by like a lot. Like, there's, because it's, they always have like indie games on sale and stuff, or like sure. other, not ever Nintendo first party games on sale usually, but I have all those. Like, there's a lot going on the Switch.
Look, the case for Switch is strong. First off, it is both, you play it, use it at home console, and you can use it as a handheld. Secondly, as you were just saying, there is a vast indie library of great games that are very, very playable. In some cases, their ideal form on Switch. And then, of course, there's Nintendo's first-party wares, which are very much their own thing, and are represent some of the very best that gaming has to offer. I totally agree with what Heather is saying. I mean, if I have to pick one platform, I probably pick PC. But if I have to pick one console, and it's like, hey, this is your console, this is your only option, I guess I probably do go with Switch. Because, yeah, again, you get the Nintendo first party, and then you get just so many other games, and you can play them wherever.
In doing the research for this draft,
yeah,
I came across two games on the Switch that I've never even heard of that are in the top 25 Metacritic ratings for the Nintendo Switch. And
there's a couple of visual novels that I think are really, really well regarded that, yeah, I have not played.
Yeah, one of them is, yeah. So like one of them, a game that is more highly rated than Tears of the Kingdom on the Switch is a visual novel called The House in Fata Morgana. And I've never even heard of this game, and it is a 96. Like, if you had to sit, it's like, okay, you're stuck with one console for the rest of your life. It feels like the Switch has, again, outside of say Steam Deck, or where it's like a PC library that's infinity. Like, it feels like the best console.
Yeah,
another one that I heard of that now I want to try, and I want to download as soon as we're done with this podcast, is a Castlevania, Metroidvania game based on one of my favorite old anime, Record of Lotus War. And the graphics look just charming as fuck.
Yeah, I have heard of House in Fata Morgana. It is a, I think it's multi-platform, but it is one where I think it got a plussed up Switch port that is, you know, maybe I'm wrong there, but I think it is at least one of the definitive versions of it. But let's get into this. Should we do this snake style?
I think snake style works.
Okay, great. Who look?
Snake style.
Exactly. Which of us wants the first pick? Because I feel pretty flexible and pretty able to go wherever.
So I think that Ranch should think of a number.
Okay.
And we should each say a number, and then whoever comes closest to that number gets to go first.
Okay. Are there parameters for the number, or is it just like any number?
One to 100, I think.
Okay.
Okay. And then what if when we ask Ranch what number she's thinking of, she says a button? Oh. Just says something insane that confuses us.
Ranch, you're not going to do that, right?
No.
So yeah, any number between 1 and 100, don't tell us what it is.
Yeah. And we're guessing?
We're going to guess.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
I like that this is like, this is the first time we've ever like heard
of this.
We've
ever randomized this. Yeah, we've done some randomizing here.
I'm going to say my number first.
Okay.
57.
All right.
Good, great number.
Good number.
Jimmy Buffett number, RIP.
I was looking at Nick, so I was just saying his age.
Why?
I wish I could order off the Denny's senior menu.
Honestly, I wish I was in my mid to late 50s. Yeah. It would just be great.
I'm going to thrive.
I'm going to say the number 36.
Okay. I'll go higher. I'll say 80.
Ooh, okay. Now, Rochelle, you have an opportunity here to do this however you like. You could do it Price is Right rules, closest without going over, or you could still just do closest to it, whichever. I guess there's only two options.
Yeah. So you have two options.
Yeah.
I guess just closest.
Okay.
Because Price is Right rules, no one would get in.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh.
What's the number?
A button.
Oh, no! Okay, Rochelle, which number is closest to a button?
27.
27.
Okay, Heather is closest.
All right. Snake style.
That means Heather, then Matt, then me, because I was furthest away.
Okay. Oh yeah.
That'll set it. And I'll do three. I'll do two picks on the turnaround.
Style. Honestly, this worked out really well.
This worked out perfect. Thanks, Ranch.
You're welcome.
Okay. How many do we get to draft?
That's a good question. What's a good number?
We typically do starting five. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's do a five.
All right.
So just before we start, I just got to tell you, the listeners.
Yeah.
You're gonna be mad because there's no way we're gonna name everybody's games.
Yes.
There's five games apiece, 15 games total out of, do we say, 10,000 on the Switch?
Out of a vast library. Yeah. And I'll just say, I made a short list of games that I would personally consider for this. It's 23 games long.
Wow.
So
okay.
We could, like, my personal entire list is not even going to be drafted here.
Right.
So there's a very good chance that your game of choice is not going to be among our starting fives.
But we want to know what your starting fives are either way.
Yeah, we did still let us know.
We love the information. But Heather, the floor is yours.
Number one, with a bullet, my first pick for the Switch draft is Disco Elysium.
Wow.
This is the console that I played Disco Elysium on. I cannot imagine letting my boy fall into your hands. So I must choose him as the lead character of my Switch draft. Disco Elysium, Disco Elysium, Disco Elysium. That's my first pick. Matt, you're up.
Fantastic game. One of my favorite games of all time. Not a game I played the Switch port of. I played it on PC, but that's great to hear that it's a really good way to experience it.
It's how I have the collector's edition of the Switch version, which came in that like truck-sized box. I lovingly open it once in a while, look at all of the items, touch the items, I'm happy that they exist, and close up the box and then put it in a place where there is no sunlight.
Yeah. It is always fun. Touching items is a bit underrated, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you have to touch an item. It's really nice. Okay. My number one pick. I feel like I have some other ones that I'm worried about getting taken,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like this one could be on any of our lists. I got to slide in here and I got to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Wow.
Ooh, wow. All
because right. This is a game that anybody can play this. You put the controller in someone's hand who doesn't really know games, within minutes they got it. And it's fun to play with people, it's fun to play online, it's fun to play with friends on the couch. It's great. So Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is my first pick.
It's a great pick.
Yeah.
And an endlessly playable game. And a signature game for the Switch. Here I am, sitting in the three spot, and I'm in hog heaven, because I got two big boys I can take for myself.
Oh, fuck, you got two picks!
First up, Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild.
Holy shit.
Okay. Now look, I know a lot of people are like, hey, Tears of the Kingdom is just a strictly better version of it, and I get what you're saying, but I think that this is like one of the games, it's a launch game, it's one of the games that define the platform, it's a game I put a ton of hours into, and unlike Tears of the Kingdom, which I bounced off of eventually, I actually finished the shit out of this game, and I loved every second of it. Fantastic game, an all-time game for me, and an all-time game for gaming. So someone's got to claim it, and I'm glad it could be me. The other one, I'm taking a little bit more tactically, like the two of you, just because I could see Apodaca claiming this one for himself. Like Heather, this is a game that I played primarily on the Switch, that I finished, that I got the true ending of on the Switch, and it is an indie game. It is a game that is multi-platform, but I think the Switch version is a wonderful way to experience one of my favorite games ever, the best roguelike ever made, Hades.
That's fine. I'll allow it. As long as it got picked, you know, that's a great one.
Got picked, all right. Got picked by me.
Got picked by Nick.
Hell yeah. Matt, back to you.
Back to me. Okay. You know, this is I feel like, based on what I know so far, this next pick is safe for me to I could save this to the end, I think.
Wow.
Because okay. I'm the only okay. person in the room that played it or that finished it. So I think unless you guys were to take it out of spite, I could leave it to the end. However, I'm going to pick it now because I am scared. So I am going to claim The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom.
There it is. Excellent. The other Zelda is off the board.
Excellent.
Nick said why. It's just great. It's really, really good. And I get why. There was a lot going on when it came out. It's easy to bounce off of. Big games are easy to bounce off of.
Yes.
Because there's just, there's too much to do.
Yeah.
And I totally get it.
Except Baldur's Gate 3, kind of impossible to pull yourself away from.
I know. This guy's addicted to it. Whole thing.
We're not talking about it.
Doing the Dark Urge over here. His Dark Urge is to keep playing the damn thing.
Heather, you have Disco Elysium on your roster. You have two picks in a row now.
All right, pick number two for the Switch draft is going to be Persona 5 Royale.
Oh.
Which I have yet to beat. But if I'm on an island and I only got one console and the console's a Switch and I only have five games on it, then I want one of those games to be Persona 5 Royale.
Yeah, so, incredible game.
Incredible game. Fantastic. Version of the game, in part because it's not a taxing visual game. Like, it's not asking, it's not trying to be God of War or The Last of Us Part 2 or I don't know. What's a visually compelling, I don't even know games. How did I even get on this fucking podcast?
You're doing great. Persona 5 has a dazzling aesthetic. But it's not trying to represent reality in the way that some of those other games are or approximate some version of reality in a way that's a little bit more technically intensive.
Yeah, I think I could have said Cyberpunk 2077, and that would have been a good pick for demonstrating what Persona 5 is not visually.
Yeah, sure.
But I didn't do it.
Because also, like, so, it looked good when it came out.
Huh?
I guess the graphics were never an issue really with
Cyberpunk. Yeah, the graphics are great.
It was just like everything else about it was not.
It was a little janky on release in all aspects. Maybe your like hog was like clipping through your clothes.
I would call that a graphical issue, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
Okay. So now I have
to tell HR.
It's just a graphics issue. But the thing is, HR's not even calling you in. You're going in.
I'm going to pick my third game based on the sound of his feet in the sand. Super Mario Odyssey is my third game.
There is no way it was going to last when it got back to me, but I was hoping against hope.
Because I love the sound of his feet going in the sand. It sounded so good. The rest of the game is also fantastic. But sometimes I'll just like remember the sound of his feet in the sand, little Mario's feet in the sand.
Yeah.
And it makes me smile. And that is emblematic of everything about that game, where every decision is an attempt to make you smile, either in frustration or joy. Super Mario Odyssey. So Disco Elysium, Persona 5 Royale, Super Mario Odyssey. Those are my first three picks in the Snake style Switch draft.
Okay, so it's back to me. And there's just so many. The thing about this exercise, there's so many great games for the Switch. We're really blessed with this thing, aren't we, folks? I have to pick this one. And because I've said it before, if you ask me on the right day, I might say this is my favorite game.
I think I know where you're going with this. But please continue.
But the best part of it being on the Switch is that it comes with a second game also.
Yeah.
Super Mario 3D World and Bowser's Fury.
Wow.
Great pick. That was definitely both. You both took picks here that I was weighing for my next couple of picks. So
it's a game that I just love it. I've talked about it enough. It's just great. It's my favorite Mario. I could have picked. There's other Marios I could have picked for the Switch, but I picked that one. I haven't finished the new one. I know you did.
I did. And you know what? It's my next pick, Super Mario Brothers Wonder.
Holy shit, he picked it. It's really good.
It is. Look, here's it is Mario's really good.
I just haven't finished it.
Yeah, I mean, I will honestly say Super Mario Brothers Wonder is my third Mario I would have picked in those three, but I felt like I had to get a Mario game, this being a Nintendo platform. And it's also and still at a fucking amazing game.
Yeah.
And it's just a terrific a 2D, I guess you could call it a 2.5D platformer. But it's just such an incredible game with such a tremendous sense of joy and continuous graphical invention and audio invention. Just the way it uses scoring and sound design throughout its levels. It's a terrific, terrific experience. And it goes on my roster along with a game, again, that's an indie game that I played through primarily on Switch and that I have a poster of in my office at home. Tremendous game. One of my favorites. Celeste.
Wow.
Ooh.
No, I had to do Celeste.
I knew you had to do it to him. Yeah, here's how well I knew.
Yeah.
As you were starting to say it, I wrote it down.
Wow.
I knew it. I know that Nick loves Celeste. It's a game that I've purchased a lot. I have it on multiple platforms. I just haven't started it.
Hey, you know, I'm the port king. I'm the port authority. I've definitely bought Celeste on more than one platform. And I'm happy to it's one of those things where I'm happy to throw a developer who made a game that I really like a little bit of extra cash as appreciation.
It's wonderful game. I'll start it someday.
And tremendous story, a lot of heart, just a great, you know, just a great, difficult, but not quite rage game platformer. Just an absolute joy to play through. And a really satisfying end game.
Okay.
So Matt, it's back to you.
Back to me. I'm sitting pretty. I could stop. Like, I have enough that I think I'm good, honestly. But
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury. Yeah, you got plenty of gaming there.
You know, but this next one, this is a game that I played all the way to the last boss and never finished.
Oh, man.
And I let too much time pass. So every time I've tried to go back in there,
mm-hmm.
My save is at the last. It's like the only thing there's the boss. And I can't go back and like relearn how to play. So I have to like, I intend to start it over again at some point so I can actually beat the boss. But my pick for my fourth slot, Metroid Dread.
Wow.
Metroid Dread is one of the most incredible games I've ever played. It is exactly what you want in a modern Metroid game, a modern side-scrolling Metroid game, rather. Obviously, people want more Metroid Prime, but it just rocks. It has a true sense in the way that Super Mario Wonder has wonder.
Yeah.
Metroid Dread has actual dread. Sometimes you're playing this and you're like, ah, Jesus Christ, this is crazy. It's really, really great. I love it. It's such a sleek looking game too. And I also, having played through some of the Metroid games in the last couple of years, I think some of the lore in Metroid is like some of my favorite like video game lore. It's
right.
Just good stuff. I love it. I love Samus. I love that she always gets on these planets with all these fucking big freaks. It rules.
That's what she's up to. I will say that, you know, the bunch of games have been listed so far. All the games with campaigns that have been listed are games I finished. Metroid Dread, I have not played yet. I never got around to playing it. And I know I would love it. You know that is, that game is just like, oh, yeah, I just never carved out time for it. But I know this is very much my shit. That it's in your top five is yet another data point.
And there are other games I could have picked that are like that, yeah. That have, you know, like, I mean, I won't name them just in case, but this one is like the best one of those to me. So Metroid Dread is my fourth pick.
Wow. Heather, back to you. Two more picks to round out your roster of five.
Okay. I'm going to go with two games that there's no danger of you guys choosing.
Wow.
Pick number four, one of my favorite games for the Wii, which had a better re-release on the Switch, No More Heroes.
Wow.
Wow.
I love the tone and the style of the game, and I love its sensibility. I love how firmly anchored in the late mid-2000s the game is, both in what it's capable of doing on the game itself, and also what it evokes from me. So No More Heroes is my game four. Again, no threat of you guys picking it. And then game five is a game that I own and don't talk about much, but own for the Switch. And that's Ikaruga, which is a shooter. Fucking shooter. Like a plane. You're a plane and you're flying and it's a shooter.
Yeah, shmup.
Except unlike most shooting games, you can change your polarity of your ship. So let's say there's like there's one color bullet and another color bullet. And if you change the polarity of your ship, you can allow certain bullets to pass through you and other bullets not to. So it adds an entirely new dimension to just a plain shmup shooter game. Ikaruga is my final pick.
Yeah, Ikaruga is a great game. I mean, that was on it was Dreamcast. I think they re-released it on GameCube. Does that sound right?
But I think so.
Yeah, I was not aware of the Switch port. Or maybe, you know what, I bet you told us about the Switch port before, and then I just forgot about it. But that's a great game. Great pick.
The Switch version allows you to play the game in vertical mode. So you can take your Switch, and you can put it vertically. That is sort of the way that it is designed to be played, like an old arcade cabinet. So, I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's cool as hell.
Great. Yeah.
I had I guess in practice, what you would do is that you would turn that on end and then you'd play it with a controller, right? That's how you'd make that work. Yeah, because I had an import Dreamcast shooter back in the day. What the hell was it called? Gunbird 2? That sounds right. It was a Capcom game, but you could, it did have that mode, but it involved actually taking your CRT, and I had this like shitty little 13-inch CRT, and I would like turn it on end just to play it in vertical mode. And it was so cumbersome that like I only did it a couple of times, but it was really amazing that it was included. There you go.
I hadn't even considered that is like possible. Of course it's possible.
Yeah.
That's I really love that.
Yeah, it's a lot of those, you know, those old arcade cabinets, you go in there and it's got the tall screen form factor. It's as crude as they just had a CRT monitor on end, on its side.
I wonder what else I just don't know.
Probably just that.
What kind of other obvious stuff that I just don't know? Now, I have one more pick.
You have one pick left.
And I have something down. I wrote something down here, but I'm starting to second guess the pick, and I think I might change it.
Wow.
But it feels sacrilegious to do so.
You can always talk about it later.
I'm trying to, but I think right now what I'm sort of wrestling with is I could pick this game and have that and be happy with it.
Yeah.
Or with my final choice, I could have like a bang for my buck choice.
Interesting.
And so I'm sorry, Pokemon Legends Arceus, you're not on my list.
Wow.
A Pokemon game not on on my Switch draft. Can we believe this?
I mean, that's nuts.
I can believe it.
I can't believe it.
I can believe it. I mean, just given how Pokemon games have been recently.
But Legends Arceus is one of my favorite ones.
I know you liked Arceus a lot.
But it's not on the board.
Wow.
It's no longer in my list. But instead, I'm going to choose the Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster Collection.
Wow.
Wow.
And yeah, I bet you're wondering, how am I doing that? And guess what? It's actually six games for the price of one.
It counts.
It counts. And they're all in the cart.
It does count.
They're all in the cart. And that's pretty exciting to me. So I'm going with the Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster. I've played through 3 and some of 4. Skipped 1 and 2 because I've played them a lot. But I'd be interested to get back in there, especially for 5 and 6. I think I'll be doing that soon. But those are my picks. The Pixel Remaster of Final Fantasy.
It falls to me to end my roster, finalize my roster, and end this draft. Of my top 10, 2 games remain: Metroid Prime Remastered and Into the Breach. Everything else has been drafted by myself or someone else. Some other games on my short list that I'm strongly considering: Sonic Mania Plus, of course.
Mm.
Fantastic game. Of course, this is the game I do not think of as much as a Switch game, but Cuphead plus the DLC, fantastic. Mm-hmm. And again, an all-time game for me. Dragon Quest XI, the Switch port, Dragon Quest XI S is great. Undertale.
Wow, Undertale.
Yeah, but I got four video game-ass video games on here. I got Breath of the Wild. I got Hades. I got Super Mario Brothers Wonder. I got Celeste. I need to fucking chill the fuck out. I need to spend some time with Tom Nook in the game, Animal Crossing, New Horizons.
Holy shit.
Cannot believe it's still available at this point in the draft. And you know what? It's one of the defining games of the Nintendo Switch, and it goes on my roster.
It was on my short list. It's on there.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't pick it. Because you could play that forever.
You could play that forever.
You could have that be the one game you had.
Yeah. And I think, like, just looking at the way my roster is constructed, you know, I got some bangers in there. But I think just something to break it up would be a nice sort of salve.
Wow. That's a huge pick, Nick. Congratulations.
Congratulations to everyone, because everyone wins here.
I think that... Because I looked at Animal Crossing and I was like, there's been no greater friend to me as a game during a time of distress than that game when we were all in lockdown. And it also made people who don't game.
It's true.
Yeah. The games that have helped me in times of distress, Animal Crossing during the pandemic and Crash Team Racing on 9/11 when I had to go home from school.
Wow.
That is intense.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what's going on, but I could play some Crash Team Racing.
You were like, wow, that's a pretty terrible plane crash, but I've got a different crash in mind. And your mom
that's
was like...
That's almost what I said verbatim.
Oh my God, Matt, no.
And mom, you were like, no, you can't use the TV.
Heather's roster, Disco Elysium, Persona 5 Royal, Super Mario Odyssey, No More Heroes, Ikaruga... Matt had Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury, Metroid Dread, and the Final Fantasy Pixel Remaster Collection. And me, I had Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, Hades, Super Mario Brothers Wonder, Celeste, and Animal Crossing New Horizons. Let us know your five. It's tough to get it down to five.
It's tough to get
there
it down to
so
five.
There are so many options.
I do think...
Doki Doki Literature Club Plus. I thought about throwing that one in there.
Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu?
Yeah. A lot of great games. We're just naming games now, but these are good games.
I wouldn't have picked that one, but there's so many great ones, and I do think it should be said we picked the best 15.
We picked the best 15. Can I also just shout out the actual MVP of the Nintendo Switch? Big micro SD card. You got to have a big micro SD card.
Yes, absolutely.
You can't. This console is unusable with the built-in storage. You got to get that card first thing.
Yeah, and there's days where sometimes I have a big one in there.
Yeah.
About 256 gigs.
I got a 256er.
I thought about bumping up to 5.
I thought about it. Apparently it sports up to 2 terabytes, which to me is insane.
You're going to have every game in the Switch store on the damn thing? Would be
2
nice.
Terabytes would fill up pretty faster than you'd think, I bet.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well... on like the PS5 for sure.
Yeah.
Put 4 games on there and then it's done. Put 1 Call of Duty to game size.
Hey, that was the Nintendo Switch draft. It's time to take a trip down memory card lane with our own Heather Ann Campbell. She's got a game for a retro collection in the segment regrettably called Heather's Hole.
Heather's Hole.
Oh no.
Heather's Hole.
Oh God,
guys! I've been shown here in you. A while. Yeah, we haven't been here in a while.
It's been a long time.
I have for new listeners. I have a retro game collection that is filled with odds and ends. I've talked about a lot of stuff in this segment, but we haven't visited. Like, for example, I have 30 still in box Super NES games. Beautiful, beautiful.
Wow.
I think I once talked about an N64 watch that was handed out to managers of electronics boutiques on launch day.
Yes.
In the 1990s. But I don't know that I've talked about this. And I think that this is important because it will lead to a larger topic. I'm holding in my hands a copy of Final Fantasy Tactics.
Wow.
For the PS1.
That's right.
It is factory sealed.
Wow.
So, like, the original plastic is still on this copy of Final Fantasy Tactics. The price range for this game on eBay goes from a respectable $70 all the way up to $2,000 for a factory sealed greatest hits version of Final Fantasy Tactics. Not even the original.
Right.
So this is like people who got in on the second run of Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yeah, I hate that. Why did they have to put that ugly, like, green greatest hits thing over, like, already, like, gorgeous box art?
I think to differentiate it, because it was also sold at a lower price.
Yeah, 100%. But I just, like, kind of wish, like, I wish that was just, like, a sticker on the plastic as opposed to being a part of the jewel case.
But you can also find on eBay a water-graded 8.0 version of Final Fantasy Tactics Greatest Hits sealed for $699.
Wow.
And last year, I believe it was last year, no, 2 years ago, the video game grading firm WADA had been, was sued by the Central District of California, and it was sued for manipulating the retro gaming market in a class action lawsuit. WADA, according to the lawsuit, was engaging in affirmative acts to manipulate the retro video game market, engaging in unfair business practices, engaging in false advertising, making false statements about the turnaround times for grading services, and failing to disclose material delays to customers. So not only is this company grading the games and then putting them out for heritage auctions, which then funnels the money directly back in a circle between the two companies in order to inflate the price of games, it is also putting certain retro games. I think the actions by WADA at the beginning of pandemic was what suddenly and artificially inflated the prices of retro games across the board.
Right.
And has blockaded and barricaded those games from purchase, enjoyment, and casual collectability.
Hmm.
There is no fucking reason why a copy of Super Mario Brothers should be whatever it was, $30,000 or $300,000 or like.
Right. The insane one was like a sealed Mario 64, so not even that old of a game that was like sold for hundreds of thousands, right? That seemed like kind of the big bubble indicator. I can't remember exactly what it was.
Yeah. It was a sealed copy of Super Mario 64, which ended up selling for $1.5 million.
Insane.
And I don't know. When I look at my sealed copy.
You took the seal off. Just kidding.
Well, you want to know what, like, honestly?
Yeah.
I look at it and I think about taking the seal off of it because I feel like I'm maybe spiritually opposed to the idea that these games shouldn't be available to people. And it makes me a little weirdly emotional.
Yeah.
And if this was a video podcast and there would be visual proof of me doing it, I think I would just take the fucking label off. So I'll save that for a time that we're doing on Twitch.
Wow.
It's, I don't know. There's something rancid about it. And that's why I took all of my Amiibo out of their boxes. And I put them in this nice little display case. And I love my little display case of Amiibo. And in fact, you know what? I'll grab that and show that to you.
Are they just stepping away?
I've seen this Amiibo case IRL. It's really nice.
Yeah. Like, I got this, like, nice display case from...
It's a lovely case.
The gang's all there.
From the Muji store. For these items that unlock, like, extra fish in Legend of Zelda.
Right. Tend to be relatively useless in gameplay terms. But they're nice little figures.
Yeah.
They're adorable. They're adorable. And they're a really good size and a really good detail level. I love the Amiibo. No complaints about Amiibo. But I don't know. I think part of why I haven't done this segment in a while is because it's starting to make me uncomfortable. Because like the things that when we first started doing the segment would talk about, and it was kind of like, check this out, guys. I've got Chrono Trigger with the maps. And it was like, wow.
Yeah.
all of that happened pre-pandemic. And now when I pull out those games, I'm like kind of talking about like a disgusting amount of money that it represents. And also that it is no longer about the treasures that I have, but rather about their sort of like braggability. I don't know. It makes me, it bums me out that so much has changed in just the last 4 years of doing this podcast. So unless it's like something extremely weird that I have, like the slime controller.
Was
shaped like a slime. Like, I love that guy.
By the way, in the recent aftermath of Toriyama's passing, I saw someone make the argument that's just like the best character design in gaming, the Dragon Quest slime.
Oh, yeah.
And there is something about it, you look at it, it's just like, it's like the, you know, like the New Mexico state flag. It's just so simple, but it just like pops immediately, catches your eye, and it like everyone knows what it symbolizes. It's just it's such an incredible bit of design. That's a great controller. Like a really cool, like it, like I don't know how it is to play with, but it's like cool that it exists.
Yeah, it's cool that it exists. Yeah. Kind of like the Resident Evil chainsaw controller.
Yes.
Like, cool that it exists.
Yeah.
That's been my feeling about this whole area of gaming. And I'm not, I hope that my tone comes off melancholy and not like complaining from a place of privilege. No. I am extremely privileged to have held on to all of these things my entire fucking life. Like, that is awesome. And I'm grateful that, you know, baby Heather gave this gift to adult Heather. And the truth is that this, I remember getting this was, I was doing games journalism at Square Enix. And they were just like, hey, do you want to like come into the back room and grab, like, we have so much stuff. Do you want anything? And I was like, oh yeah, let me see what you have. And I think I grabbed like three games and this was one of them. So this didn't even cost me any money.
Wow.
I love that it still says Squaresoft on it. Yeah, I don't know. That's cool. There's nothing we can do about it. So it just makes me a little sad. That's all.
It's unfortunate that like bad actors sort of like made this hobby like all things for capitalist gain. Like the Logan Paul did the same thing with Pokemon cards. Like he got into opening Pokemon cards on stream and then like sort of made that chasing of a first edition Charizard. He single-handedly like drove the market up for Pokemon cards, and then everybody was going and buying them, and they're hard to find. It was a whole crazy thing. But like this doesn't happen with like books or anything like that.
I bet it does, though. I bet if you dig deep into any hobby, they've all had their thing, their situations where speculators have gotten involved and are treating this hobby now as an investment.
Mm-hmm.
And then that leads to people like trying to pile on for the gold rush. So yeah, I think you sound appropriately melancholy, and I think your tone and your words are exactly conveying what you're trying to do, which is it sucks that this comes from it sucks that you are someone who just is like purely has a passion for this thing, but then you feel associated, it seems like, with people who are in it just for the money.
Yeah. There was like a funny mid period where I was like, you guys, this copy of Pokemon I have is now worth $300. It was kind of, I don't know, amusing. But like the longer I've sat in that sort of chilly aftermath, the more blue it's made me. Because it's weird that people, because like, the people who do want to play a Game Boy game today, those like legitimately like go into a store and be like, hey, I kind of want to play a Game Boy game.
Yeah.
Like those people don't have access to, or maybe they do, but like generally speaking, an enthusiast for like old technology isn't necessarily going to have like $500 to drop on Pokemon Yellow.
Right.
Sure. Yeah.
And I know that emulation has bridged the gap between these two things and you can play anything you want, but there are people like me who really enjoy playing it on the original platform without that like additional emulation lag where it feels crispy. And yeah, I don't know. It bummed me out a little bit. That's all. That's why this segment hasn't been around for a bit.
Well, we don't have to do it again.
I mean, we can, but maybe I'm going to try and find stuff that's a little weirder.
Yeah.
To chat about here in Heather's
Hole.
It does make you wish we had like a public sector, you know, that actually cared about the arts and more, you know, larger than that, that video gaming was considered an art, because this is the sort of thing of just like, libraries should just have, we should have big, huge libraries that have a bunch of shit, that a bunch of services that are available. One thing they have is that they have retro consoles where you can play old games. And that's just a public service, because these are works of art that should be available to people in some form. The other thing I was going to say is that your story about getting a free copy of Final Fantasy Tactics from Square Enix reminded me of a thing I hadn't thought about in a long time. So as I've said in the podcast, I used to work at Activision. I worked in QA and I worked in customer support. And two of my bosses would just hand me and the other workers there just like free Activision games all the time. And so like, you know, it was just like a routine thing of just like, hey, this Tony Hawk's Underground 2 is out or whatever. Like, you want it? I was like, yeah, I'll fucking take it. I got like a bunch of free games. Some of them I had no interest in playing, but they were free. And then so I would in turn like be like, to pay someone back for a favor, I'd be like, hey, you want a free copy of a game? They'd be like, holy shit, you know, because it's like I just handed them a $50 bill or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's something I got for free for work. Anyway, I had this huge stockpile of free games of the era that I got from this job. And then at a certain point, I shifted back to QA. And then someone I used to work with found me and was like, hey, did you hear our bosses got fired? I was like, holy shit, what happened? It's like, yeah, they were stealing a bunch of games.
Oh my God. I knew whatever, because this is the thing, this is what you can almost guarantee from a Liger story,
yeah,
that the ending is going to leave you speechless.
That is just brazenly just handing them out to people who worked in the department.
That's so insane.
And I just thought it was like a perk of working there.
It feels like it should be, one, but yeah, like, which two, like,
absolutely should be.
But that is so funny. That's like when like friends of mine that have worked at Disneyland like have signed people in, like, or you know, signed me in, and we like for free or whatever, and you like you want to pay them back and they're like, you cannot, you like, you can't do it, it's like against the rules.
Yeah.
And then like, but like I'll buy their lunch or whatever, and it's like, it's kind of, you should have said no to that too. I
yeah
think.
For sure.
If it's a no,
go by the letter of the law.
Yeah. But I wish I got anything for free. Be sick as hell.
Yeah.
If you have free stuff that you want to give us, send us free stuff.
Yeah, send us free stuff.
Yeah, we love free stuff.
We sure do. Thank you for that trip. The trip into Heather's Hole. That was really I don't know. It was a really thoughtful, just sort of a bit of discussion from you.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
You know, there's always interesting stuff in there, whether it be items or information.
Wow. There you go. That's this week's Get Played. Our producer is Rochelle Chen, Ranch, yard__sard on social media. Our music is by Ben Prunty, benpruntymusic.com. Our art is by Duck Brigade Design, duckbrigade.com. Check out our paywalled show, Get Animated. Matt, what are we watching this week?
We're in our solo leveling era. We're watching solo leveling right now. And
hell yeah.
We're on episodes 3 and 4, and it fucking whips. It's awesome. It is a really, really great show. Come check it out with us, patreon.com/getplayed. You're going to have a fucking time of your life.
A lot of fun. Great show. You know, even if you're not someone who's necessarily into anime, if you're into video games, this I think is a great like video game adjacent show to check out. You can get the Get Animated along with our entire pre-HeadGum back catalog of Get Played episodes and new ad-free Get Played mainline episodes. You can get all that only at patreon.com/getplayed.
And just a reminder, Next week on the show, we're talking Helldivers 2.
That's right.
So get in there, help spread democracy, and you got played.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.